good morning. Welcome in to the front porch. And guess what day it is?
It is the front porch, and it is Wednesday.
It is.
And that means I made my trip up from Clarksville. This is Bing Verba speaking, and I'm so glad to be here and just having the privilege to have conversation with my brother Brian.
Amen.
And have a Bible study. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 today is when we get started.
Okay.
But it's a beautiful time of the season. I mean, coming up, everything is green. We did get rain, which is a blessing. And I just love this time of the year when everything gets good and green and harvest isn't quite here for the farmers, but it's getting close. Soon they're going to be out busy.
Yeah.
Gleaning the prosper of their efforts when they were planting in the spring, you know, I've been working in my garden. I pulled out my red beets and turnips this week, replanted some beans I just love it. Yeah.
You like getting out and working in the garden.
Yeah.
Now you enjoy mowing the yard too.
I actually do.
There's a lot of people enjoy that. I really do, yeah.
Yeah.
I never quite enjoyed it too much, but anyway.
Well, it helps when you know, you're not pushing the ones with the blades that the wheels turn. When my grandfather used to do it. I used to think those things were so amazing.
Yeah.
I'd say, let me mow, Granddad, let me mow. And I'd get up there, and I couldn't hardly push it, you know.
You know, I was thinking about something that you mentioned that and thinking about old-timey stuff.
Yeah.
But you remember the blades? What was
it? Oh, the sickle.
Blades?
Yeah.
I said, now you got weed eaters and stuff like that, so you don't see those very much anymore. But I remember Dad using the sickle, and cutting stuff down with it, you know. Yeah.
You still can see those every now and then when you're traveling through the Kentucky area, the rural area in Tennessee. There are farmers, probably the Amish or the Mennonites, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. But I've seen them working it too.
Oh yeah,
and there's such an art to it.
There's an art to it.
It just takes it down.
And when they're
through the field, it looks like it's been mowed.
Very much so.
And it reminds me of the way it was when the Old Testament stories were written, you know.
Yeah.
They were doing that, and they would take these bundles of wheat to the threshing floor.
Yes.
And after all the cutting with the sickle, they would shake them and let the air remove the shaft and the seeds fall. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really quite beautiful.
It is.
Imagery when you think about all of the work that they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I tell you what, Brian, I think people in general need to do that sort of work daily anymore.
Well, sure.
Even in our modern days, even with modern technology and all the gadgets we have, there's nothing wrong with getting out and doing physical work.
No.
It is beneficial in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it gives me a peace. It gives me the ability to just, I don't have my phone on, don't have anything like that going. Unless I got my headphones on and I'm listening to missionary radio.
Oh, you
sometimes,
listen to missionary radio?
Yeah,
awesome.
I do that.
Awesome.
But it's a time where I can just say, thank you, God. You know,
amen.
Thank you. Yeah.
Amen.
For
amen.
Giving me the ability. So
that's right.
We should always be thankful to Him.
Absolutely. Well, let's do a song and a few words, and then we'll come back and get started. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
The current situation in Cuba is desperate.
No medicine, no food. They don't have power. The internet is not working.
That's TWR's Anabel Torrealba.
When it's that hard, you lose hope. Because it's not just one day. It's every day.
And many are fleeing Cuba.
Even pastors are leaving. And the churches are in need of people to bring the word of God.
That's why Transworld Radio, TWR, is so vital for Cuba right now.
These people, they gather together around that radio, sometimes a whole community, and can get the message of hope.
Cuba needs Jesus. Cuba needs you. Partner today with TWR. Go to CubaNeedsJesus.org.
Join us for Cuba Needs Jesus July 14th and 15th on Missionary Radio. Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. That's from G. Campbell Morgan. God is not under our command. We're under His. Wait on the Lord. You'll be glad you did. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
To exalt King Jesus, missionary radio.
Yeah, this is the Front Porch on Wednesday morning.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before we took the break, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, and we're actually going to start in the very beginning in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 10.
Okay.
And it starts off with, "Moreover," and this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's had a lot of information to give the Corinthians church. And the Corinthians church has evidently written him letters asking many questions and answers from Paul. And he's in the middle of explaining some things to them. And the way Paul does that, he goes about it in roundabout ways. And it's kind of but it does wrap up, usually towards the end of the chapter, with a very complete and understandable answer. But he begins with, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." So there is a commonality there, and it goes all the way back to the link, especially speaking to the Jews, of when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He mm-hmm. brought them out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So not only, though, were the Jews under God's cloud of protection then, it was the Jews who passed through the Red Sea when they fled Egypt. Paul's addressing the Corinthian church here, though, in which there were both Jews converts and Gentile converts.
Mm-hmm.
So when Paul says all our fathers were under the cloud and all our fathers passed through the sea, Paul is speaking of a certain people that were called out. Called out is exactly the right words or the right two words to use by God to be a different people than the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was his intentions. It's true. God wanted the Jewish people in their day to be a peculiar people, a more different people than the rest of the world. That's why God called them out of Egypt and led them into the Promised Land. But today, that's also true in the New Testament times. God has called us, born-again Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, out of this world. Why would he call us out of this world? Because this world is currently dead in its trespasses and sins.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to be a peculiar people, a more different people, with a purpose. There's a purpose for this, of directing other people, eyes and hearts and minds to a land that we have been promised. And that land is nowhere to be found on this earth, right?
Mm-mm.
It's a land where we will find our eternal dwelling place with our Creator God in His tabernacle. God has a purpose for everything, and God has a purpose for you, He has a purpose for me, He has a purpose for every person who He has given the Spirit of life to at their conception. He even has it written down. But there are things that happen early in life, and there are side roads that we take, and there are different trails that we take as we're on our journey, which sometimes causes us a lot of problems.
Yes.
And sometimes we can go through our journey blind to the fact that God has a purpose for us.
That's right.
So just as the Jews were called out of this world in the Old Testament times, so are we, the church, the body of Christ, called out of the world in the New Testament times. Now, as we head into 1 Corinthians 10:2, this is still speaking of the Jewish people who are called out by God. It gives us some pictures of that to go into the promised land. Verse 2 says, "And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So they went, like the baptism today, they went into the sea, through the sea, and came out of the sea on the other side, all protected by God.
Mm-hmm.
And they were then taking their initial steps towards God's purposes for them, even though they quite didn't understand that or know that at the time. But what did that verse mean? Well, could it be everyone, all who left Egypt with Moses, experienced the protection of God's cloud that kept them, kept the pursuing Egyptian army away from Israel when they were trapped at the Red Sea? Could it also mean everyone, all who were called out by God, crossed the Red Sea on dry land? Now, if you remember, when the Egyptian army came up from behind the people, what did the people do? Well, they cried out. They cried out to Moses. And Moses stood firm. That was really a very picture of Moses' faith. His strength, his resolve was strong. He said, "Fear not." He said this when they cried out, "Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today." He knew, he trusted that God had this all under control. Then when Moses went to God and looked up for direction, God told Moses to do what? Well, he said, "Lift up your rod, Moses, towards the sea." You got it. You got what you need. When Moses lifted up his rod, what happened? And we all know the famous thing that happened at the Red Sea. It just parted. A dry path.
Wouldn't have been something to see.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We get to see it in movie renditions.
Yeah.
And but when you see it, when you're reading it, and you can see it in your mind, it's just a huge gift. And, you know, I doubt we will ever be able to really see it the way it was.
Yeah.
But maybe one day we'll get a replay of it,
you know,
in eternity. But today in New Testament times, our baptism symbolizes, are linked to what? Well, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That link is our guarantee that God will also protect us and provide for us as we head towards our promised land. And our promised land, folks, has a name. It's a city. It's called New Jerusalem. That's where God dwells. That's God's tabernacle.
Yes.
That's the house that Jesus said he is building rooms for us this very minute. Now, Romans 6:3 tells us, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore," now this is an important visual, "therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." Baptism, Brian, is a public statement that all believers in Jesus Christ should make.
Okay? Yes.
We don't have to, but we should be compelled to make that step.
Mm-hmm.
This statement declares that we have buried something. We buried the old self, the old man, that physical sin-filled man when we go into the water, and we have come out of the water, as the Bible describes, a new creature in Christ that has been called out of the world to walk in newness of life, just like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're declaring. When the children of Israel came out of the Red Sea, their bondage to the world, as they knew it, was cut. They've been there in Israel or in Egypt for 400 years.
Yeah.
That was their world. That was what they were used to.
Yeah,
that was cut, and they were completely free, you know, free from the Egyptians. Now, God allowed Moses to part the Red Sea. God allowed Moses to bring the commandments and the laws to the people. God raised up Moses in the eyes of the people that day, as verse 2 says, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And because Moses was so true to God, God spoke to Moses as a friend. And whatever God told Moses, what would Moses do? Well, he would relay that message to the people. He was the advocate. He was the go-between.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 10:3 says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? Now listen to what it says here. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That rock was Christ. The seeds of the New Testament church was in that genealogy.
Yes.
And the plans of God was already taking root and being fulfilled.
Yes.
In that remnant of the people that came through the Red Sea. Jesus Christ was with the called out people of the Old Testament, just as Jesus Christ is with the called out people of the New Testament today. And I'll end it before we go to the pen from the heart with some questions. Are we eating his spiritual meat? Mm. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to who are listening.
Yeah.
Are we drinking from his spiritual drink? If we are, that spiritual rock will also be with us. And that's what the Lord's Supper symbolizes also.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Anyway, it's not speaking of physical food, and it's not speaking of physical water. It's speaking of something much deeper than that. So we'll go to
pen from the heart.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, I'm praising and thanking the Lord for you and your faithful ministry, as well as for TWR, as you are reaching the world for King Jesus. Thank you for being a huge blessing to me and so many. From Clarksville, thank you for all that you're doing. From Clifty, thank you for spreading the gospel. And from Springfield, thank you for your ministry. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029. Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
We thank you so much for being with us on the front porch. Before we get back, let me mention real quick that when you go to our website now, Bing, you can go between Listen Now and Donate, and you'll see one that says Podcast. So once you click on Podcast, you're going to go, and it's going to come up, and you're going to be seeing a rocking chair.
Oh, okay? Really? Oh,
You click on the rocking chair for the front porch,
okay,
and you can listen to all the podcasts from the previous front porches.
Wow, how far back?
I think about around 2.5-3 months right now.
Okay.
And Andrew's working on the newer ones right now, so you can go back anytime and listen to those.
Wow, what an amazing feature that is.
Yeah. Been working on it for a few months.
I know I've had people in the past ask if they were on podcasts, the front porches.
There you go.
And so, I mean, we're keeping up, folks.
We're keeping up with the times.
Thank you, Andrew, for your work on that.
Yeah,
I know that's
also Timothy.
Timothy's in on it, too.
Yes, Timothy's also in on it, too. So it really is nice. Like I said, just go to our website, podcast, couple of clicks, boom, there they are. You can listen to the days you like.
I listen all the time, but that's new to me. I must not have been listening if that was mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
So I'm telling you something new.
Yeah.
That's good.
You're telling me that.
That's good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we left off, and we were talking about this rock that followed the children of Israel, and that rock was Jesus, is what we were told. And we were talking about the spiritual meat and the spiritual drink that he provided to the people of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness. But it's also speaking of things that are not physical and that are not a physical food and not a physical water. And to explain that a little better, we'll go to when Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria. He told her that he had living water available for her if she would only ask. There was physical water and spiritual water available to that woman that day at that well only because Jesus was there and he was present. And he told her, whosoever drinketh of this water, and he was probably pointing down into the well, speaking of the physical water, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, and that's the spiritual water resulting from faith in Jesus, shall never thirst. That's never thirst, Brian.
Never thirst.
That means
again.
When you breathe your last breath upon this earth, as you enter into eternity, you will never thirst. You will be filled with this water.
Amen.
But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Wow. That's a promise we have from our Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, we learn that spiritual rock that followed the Jews in the wilderness is the same spiritual rock that is available to all believers today. The Jews in the wilderness were being taught spiritual truths from God, though God's law, through God's laws and God's commandments. And God was revealing to them his expectations for them to live as a peculiar people in this world. He was training them these 40 years. When they came out of the Red Sea, they experienced the baptism into Moses, and when they made their way to the Promised Land, learning what they needed to know to be God's special people along the way, this was their chance to walk in newness of life when they got there. This was their chance to be the people that God wanted them to be. Okay? Now, so far, the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 10, speaking of these called out people of God, we see the word A-L-L, all. Paul says, all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized under Moses. All did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink. But in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 10, we see, but with many, not all, of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, to summarize what Paul is telling us, all these people were called out by God. All these people were protected by God's presence. All these people were baptized under Moses by coming through the Red Sea. All these people were given laws and commandments by God himself that if they followed them and lived by them, they would be extremely blessed, extremely protected, extremely prosperous people, and as a result, they would become the light to the rest of the world around them. God wanted the world to be drawn to the nation of Israel. They weren't a nation yet, but they were going to become one when they crossed the Jordan. God wanted the world to see what a nation could achieve when that nation followed the one true God of all creation. In the days of Solomon, the nation of Israel came very close to being the nation God wanted them to be. That was the closest they came. At that time, the fame of Israel's wealth, the fame of Israel's might, the fame of Israel's grandeur spread all across the earth. In Solomon's day, we're told in Scripture, listen to this, Brian, silver was as plentiful as stones in the streets in Jerusalem. That's being very, very prosperous and wealthy.
It is.
There was never a greater peace and never a greater joy in Israel because of God's miraculous protection and presence during Solomon's reign. David paved the way for that. But Solomon gleaned all of these blessings as a result of David's faith and David's perseverance and David's preparation for Solomon when he became king. And people of other nations did come to see for themselves what a nation could become who was blessed and protected by God. God wanted Israel to be that kind of nation from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why? Because the world would then glorify God, Israel's God, for blessing Israel so abundantly, and the world would believe that Israel God was the one true living God. God deserves that glory.
Amen.
God will get that glory from the world. Amen. Eventually. But even as all of the Jews that were called out by God, and all of them who were being then prepared by God in the wilderness were heading to the promised land, verse 5 warns us, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. He had a path, he purposed mm-hmm. a direction, and these people were taking different trails,
yeah.
different routes. Yeah. Why did this happen? Why was this written in the Word of God? Well, verse 6 tells us plainly. Now, these things that we see here in this setting were our examples mm-hmm. to the intent. We, speaking of the New Testament church, people who are reading God's Word today, should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, just as many of the children of Israel took their eyes off the promised land, forsaking all the promises and hope and blessings of what they could become under God's protection, and focused their eyes on the ways of the world around them, including the world's laws, including the world's commandments, the customs of the world around them, and worst of all, on the world's false religious practices and the false gods that mm-hmm. the world worshiped. That the world around them had to offer, and that's what Satan was using these nations around Israel to do. They were offering. They were enticing. Just as we are enticed by the world today as members of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But this was written to warn us not to do mm-hmm. these same things. So where is our promised land? Okay? It's not going to be found in any other nation upon this earth.
No.
Our promised land is in the heavenlies, is in heaven.
Yes.
Our eternal resting place is in God the Father's house. And as we said for the last break, it's a place Jesus right now is preparing for us today. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and bring you to where I am. That's what he told us the last night he was on this earth. And that's still true today. That's what he's doing. So right now we're at a point where we can hear some wonderful news from a good friend of the station's.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Erickson Tata, sharing hope.
You know, Johnny and Friends is a place of singing. And here's Johnny with an anthem from her heart.
All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me on the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see.
As you know, I love to sing to the Lord. For me, sitting in this wheelchair, it's all about singing and obedience, because the Bible says that singing is not an option. It's a command we've got to obey. A command in Colossians chapter 3 and in Ephesians chapter 5 and lots of other places. We are not just invited to sing. God flat out tells us to sing. So when you sing praises to God, guess what? You're obeying Him. You are doing what God wants you to do. And not long ago, I learned that when you follow God's command and sing hymns and spiritual songs, there is a promise attached to it. we're promised that the Word of Christ will dwell in us richly. I read that in an article by Tom Olson, who said that singing hymns provides lessons in theology. And he made a great example of the modern hymn, In Christ Alone. You probably have all the stanzas memorized, or at least close to it. And if you do, guess what? You've got a thorough theology of the cross of Jesus Christ with clear and practical applications that you can use for your life. So, keep memorizing timeless hymns of the faith and solid songs of worship. It's a way of learning the great Christian doctrines on which your convictions are founded. Now, I could go on and on here, but the Bible says it so much better. I mean, listen to some of these commands. Psalm 9 says, quote, I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And then again in Psalm 59, it says, I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in my day of distress. And one of my favorite verses from Psalm 63, quote, For you have been my help, O Lord, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. But the Bible verse that got me singing in the first place, well, I started singing through my suffering when my depression in the hospital began to lift, and a friend showed me James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone cheerful? Then let him sing praise. Oh my goodness, God rescued me from depression, so why shouldn't I sing? And one of the first hymns that I memorized when I got out of that hospital and I began cheerfully singing is the one I just sang for you today. All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, and feeds me with the living bread. Wow.
Friend, if God has done great things for you, and I know He has, I trust you'll obey His command and sing His praises today. Because if you're cheerful in Jesus, the Bible commands in James chapter 5, verse 13, sing songs of praise to the Lord.
Local Christian Radio, 100% listener funded. We're in our 43rd year of broadcasting, and soon we'll celebrate 44 years on August 3rd. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. Local means a major part of our mission field is the area we cover with 89.3 FM, Hopkinsville, Fort Campbell, Clarksville, 91.7 FM in the Madisonville area, 90.5 FM all of Western Kentucky, and 98.9 FM Dixon, Tennessee, and in partnership worldwide with TWR. Radio is still a major way to share the gospel. Right now is a critical time for us. We need our old partners to return. Our current partners, we say thank you, and if you can help out more, we ask you to consider it, and new partners to join us. Funds are low. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment Systems, or send your gift to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241. We are 100% listener funded Missionary Radio.
You know, everything that we see, God made.
That's right.
You know, how can you not believe that?
That's right.
I mean, everything.
Romans tells us we have enough to see in our world, in our surrounding our world, to be sufficient enough to believe that there is a Creator God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, we left off before the break with the question, where is our promised land? And we said it's not found. You'll never find our promised land on this earth or any nation upon this earth.
Mm-mm.
That our promised land is in the heavenlies, and our eternal resting place is with God in His Father, or in His tabernacle, as it's said in Scripture. I call it God's tabernacle. One day God's tabernacle is going to come down to this earth, and we'll be housed in it at that time. But with that question, there's another question. What is our wilderness for Christians today? Well, our wilderness is this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's our wilderness. We see, as you said, we can see everything around us. Everything around us God made, but it's not our home. It's what we're passing through right now.
Yeah. Kind of like the old gospel song: "This world is not our home. We're just passing through."
That's exactly right. That would be the imagery. We're never told in Scripture to let our roots sink deep into this world, okay, mm-hmm. and make it our permanent home. Hebrews tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while they were walking through the promised land, they never built a permanent dwelling place. They never made a place. They dwelt mm-hmm. in tabernacles. They mm-hmm. dwelt in tents because they were, and it tells us they were searching for a city yeah. Whose builder and maker was God. So they were looking for New Jerusalem also.
Yes.
Now, with that being said, for 2 Corinthians, now not 1 Corinthians, but I jumped to 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything that has to do with this world around us is temporary.
Yes.
Goes on to finish with, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love mm-hmm. that verse.
Oh, yeah.
These unseen things are the hope and the future blessings we will surely receive one day, because by faith we believe that they are there to be ours, mm-hmm. even though we can't see them. That's unimaginable for most people of the world to think about.
Yes.
But as Christians, we see these things. We believe these things. This is the kind of faith that all those mentioned in Hebrews 11 had, and that's what I was talking about earlier, Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, meaning they believed them to be, mm-hmm. and then it goes on to say, and embraced them, and then it says, and confessed this, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking those who are listening today who are believers in Jesus Christ, are you strangers and pilgrims on this earth? Well, we are.
We are.
We are. We are never to make this earth our home. For they say that say such things, the verse continues, declare plainly that they seek a country, and we said before the break, our eternal country will not be found in any country upon this earth. Well, if it's not upon this earth, where is it then? Hebrews 11:16 tells us where that country is, specifically tells us. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore mm-hmm. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. Okay? We, members of the body of Jesus Christ today, must keep our eyes focused where? On our promised land.
Amen.
On that heavenly city, which has a name. Its name is New Jerusalem. That's our eternal dwelling place with God. Where God has promised us our journey will end, Brian.
Yes.
When we finally step off this earth
mm-hmm.
and enter into his presence in our resurrected bodies. We can't even imagine what those bodies would be like.
Mm-mm.
No pain, no aging. We'll never die.
I'll be skinny.
You'll be perfect. You'll be perfect. You'll be made in the image of the perfect Amen. Savior, Jesus Amen. Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:7 says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Okay? This is quoted from Exodus 32:6 about the children of Israel. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ today, being on the same journey through this earth and making our way towards the things that we can't see, we don't need to sit down and eat and drink and raise up and play on this earth. We don't need mm-hmm. to do that. There's mm-hmm. plenty of work to do
Absolutely.
For us to do. Now, even while Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments of God, they were written on two tables of stone and other laws that were later given to Moses. Even while Moses was there in the presence of God, 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai, down below Mount Sinai in the camp of Israel, these same people who saw the great plagues of Egypt, who saw the destruction of Pharaoh's army, who saw the parting of the Red Sea and experienced God's miraculous provision to get them there to Mount Sinai, these same people, or some of them, resorted back to the ways of the world in which they were called out. They enticed Aaron to do what when Moses was up? We're giving you this goal. We want you to fashion it into an idol. It became a golden calf. And when it was built, Exodus 32:6 says, and they rose up early on the morrow, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. That's a warning, folks. They saw these things being done in Egypt, sacrificing, giving burnt offerings, playing, eating and drinking, and rising up to play. They saw these things and mimicked them. This was the world that they came out of, the mimicked the ways of the Egyptians. And as a result of this backsliding, we're told about 23,000 men were killed that day. As verse 8 tells us, neither let us commit fornication, and it's a fornication against God, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 320,000. Now, about 40 years later, after this incident with the golden calf, the children of Israel were preparing to enter the promised land, their promised land across the Jordan River, the land of Canaan. As they were congregating and making camp just across the Jordan River from the promised land, there was a king of the Moabites named Balak who hired Balaam, a prophet, to come and curse the children of Israel. Balaam had a widespread reputation of being able to prophesy and pronounce curses or blessings upon any people or any nation. Balaam was summoned with the promise of great riches to a mountain range overlooking Israel's camp. Three different times, from three different vantage points, Balaam was told to curse Israel by King Balak. You remember what happened every time? He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. God would not allow him to bring cursing. Because God strictly warned him not to. But before Balaam returned to his home, he did tell Balak a way in which Balak could pollute or weaken the children of Israel. And what way was that? Well, you can find that in Numbers 25:1, where we're given an idea of what Balaam suggested to King Balak. And Israel abode in Chittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, who happened to be a fertility god of Moab, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now, as a result, again, taking their eyes off the promises of God, promises they had by faith, they had to have it to believe, and placing their eyes and their desires on the snares and entanglements of the world around them. This time, 24,000 of the people died in a plague that day, as Numbers 25:9 tells us. 1 Corinthians 10:9 gives us another warning. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. And this is where we'll pick up, Lord willing, the next time we're together. We'll be looking at another straying off that path of their journey and getting caught up in the snares of the world. We thank you, Lord, for these warnings. We ask, Lord, that you'll give us strength, perseverance, give us faith, great faith, Lord, because we're going through times in which we are going to be tested and tempted to join with the forces of this world. That's coming. That's coming in the future. And Lord, give us the strength, the desire, in the faith to see what is real. And what is real is our eternal dwelling places with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.